Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
And good afternoon on a dark and a bit dreary Sunday. We've got Matt in the studio and welcome to From the Terraces. Thank you very much to Polish Waves for the last hour. I think we've got some football at least to talk about this week. I was glad I was away in Vegas last week. I think Ollie suffered a bit with Daniel not having anything to talk about. But a few games this week. We'll be talking about the Cambridge United game away at... I've forgotten. you get halfway through a thought and then you can't finish it off. Away at Wickham, of course. A great result. Two good results to talk about. Last week's Luton game we'll go over again because there are some similarities. And then another good result this week with another draw. Histon game was rained off. They were supposed to be going out to Walsham Le Willows, I think, and didn't manage it. Waterlogged pitch after a pitch inspection Saturday morning, so nothing there. But we will still talk to Mark. I'm not sure what we'll talk about as yet, but I'm sure we'll find something to talk about. And, of course, we've got Cambridge City back to winning ways and how. I think it was 6-1 against Arlesey. We'll be talking to Robbie Nightingale. And we'll catch up on the women's football as well at the end of the show. So we'll start, as we always do, with Cambridge United, of course. So after being, you got caught. You couldn't come and see the Luton game because you were snowed in Edinburgh, and you didn't make it. Went to Norwich instead, not to the football in Norwich, but just to Norwich in general for yesterday's two interesting games. You saw that you caught up with both of them, both in their own right. I mean, we'll, there's lots to talk about the performances, and I think we'll talk about Joe Dunn later on. But I think everyone would agree that we're kind of seeing a different performance. And for me, we'll talk about Joe Dunn now. For me, that's the big difference that Joe Dunn's brought in. The way in which we're actually playing the game now is very, very different from the way in which we played it under Derry, both tactically and also the passion and commitment that seems to come from the players. He's got something out of them that Sean Derry just never managed to get.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, out of the... what is it now, sort of 5-6 games that Joe Dunn's been in charge of, there definitely has been a lot more sort of commitment and passion to the shirt and to the performances. And, you know, reading a few of the comments as well that came from, you know, yesterday's game. And everybody turned around and said if Sean had been in charge, we'd have probably lost sort of 2 or 3 nil in the end instead of fighting back. So, yes, you know, obviously the players seem to be well behind Joe Dunn as being in charge at the moment. And it showed by the, you know, the celebrations at the end when we got the last minute equaliser. So, you know, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that he has made a difference coming in. You know, there has been that sort of, I say new manager, but, you know, somebody new in charge. You know, we have had a bounce and not being able to go last week where, okay, we, you know, we were probably a bit lucky in terms of, like, we started brightly and, you know, then we sort of fell and struggled a little bit against Luton and then we got lucky with a red card, but we got the equaliser. We could have gone on and won the game. Yesterday was a lot more... you know, a lot more sort of about battling and fighting. You know, we know how we can play. You know, they're just completely and utterly sort of, I don't like to say this too much, but they do time waste. They do know the dark arts of football. And they do it very, very well.
So there are certain teams that you know play the way they do, and you know they're always going to play the way they do. And Wickham, you know, they're a physical team, no doubt in that. They... I'm trying to avoid the cheating word, but they make the most of situations that come their way. And you've got someone like Akinfenwa up front who's a master of appealing to the referee, and he manages to seem to pick up a lot that he probably doesn't deserve, whereas Uche picks up nothing quite often that he does deserve. But the thing that really, you know, I get both of those if that's the game you play, but time wasting. From from the first minute, time wasting, and it was Andrew from the Cambridge News who was saying that he was standing in front of some of their people, and he said, you know, do you enjoy the way they play doing this? And they don't even enjoy it. And you just think, okay, I get time wasting at the end when you've got 5 minutes to play and you're 1-0 up, but it's almost from the word go, it's their natural game to do it, and it just kills it. I don't know why. I mean, I suppose that is their style, though. So,
yeah, it is as you say. You know, it's very frustrating for everyone. You know, not just the away fans and away players, but you know the home fans as well. But you know, on the flip side, it does bring success, which is you know what every football team wants. You know, sometimes. Yeah, you want to play total Barcelona football, and then sometimes you want to be, you know, a little bit nasty and do the nasty stuff. And, you know, that is Wickham's game at the moment, and that's what they do. So, you know, we have to put up with it. And you're right, you know, they have the experience and the know-how of Akinfenwa, who, you know, just causes problems, as you say. As you said before the show, he's not the quickest, but his brain is sort of 2-3 times better than everybody else's. And, you know, it's kind of a shame we don't have him in the squad to sort of teach Uche a little bit. but, you know, as I say, we dealt with it.
The thought of Uche and Akinfenwa up front would be quite frightening for anybody. I mean, you just wouldn't want to get between the two of them, would you, at all?
No.
But, yeah, I mean, that would be great. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, I mean, you look at the start of the season when he was, you know, effectively he was away on a free. And you know there were opportunities to potentially sign him up, but you know I'm sure lots of people looked at him, but it'd be interesting to see whether we did and why we thought in the end that perhaps we did make an offer. Who knows? But I can't imagine him fitting into Derry's style of play. That would have been a really interesting one.
Yeah, it would have done. But you know he's an experienced player, and you know he knows the ins and outs. If you look at George Taff's tweet yesterday where he was covered in sort of bruises and little scratches, you know, it shows what a battle it is against him. And, yeah, you know, we know what it's like. And, you know, we were a bit unlucky, obviously. You know, we got a bit distracted with George Maris getting injured early in the first half. And so it took us a little time to resettle. And it was, you know, very bitty and scrappy and... You know, as I say, you know, at times when it's been those types of games, we've fallen away. You know, we've lost our composure, we've lost our, you know, sort of our momentum, and we get dragged into a dogfight, which we're not suited to. Yeah. But you know, we showed yesterday that we can stand up to it, and you know, we do keep going till the 93rd, 94th minute. And, you know, we probably deserve the equaliser in the end. And, you know, that's 50 points on the board. We're definitely, definitely, definitely safe there, which is good. So that was, you know, sort of one tick in the box. And now it's just about whether Joe could take us a bit higher or not. And, you know, I don't think 12th places is still too far off, you know, off. I think a lot of people are still talking up a playoff, you know, push, but I just don't think we've got enough. I think if Joe had taken over a bit earlier, maybe, you know, sort of 5-6 games earlier, he might have had a chance with the January transfer window. But yeah, the playoff push is over. There's too many teams that are above us that, you know, we've got to chase down.
Yeah. I mean, because we were trying to work it out. Yeah, I think we've got to win 6 of the 9 games left to be in any chance. And I think even then, you're still looking for those above us to slip up. And while some of them did their best to do that yesterday, looting and bottling it again. I think, you know, I mean, it is what it is at the moment. And I think the comment you made about battling to the last minute, and that's a real difference in the way we're playing. That I mean, Lynch, he says, back from Townend, and it looks like I've missed the best part of the season, but I did manage to catch most of the games on iFollow. Another good point yesterday, we would have folded like a pack of cards if Derry was in charge of the game. When I'm watching or listening to a game now, if we go behind, I actually have belief now that we won't roll over and we'll battle until the final whistle. And that's the biggest difference for me. It's the spirit that the game is being played. And I think, you know, I don't know what, is it because Derry wasn't liked? I mean, the players gave every indication that he was liked. But, you know, perhaps they felt they had to do that. But Dunn certainly is liked. You've only got to be around him to you know, and listen to the players talking to him to see he's liked. And he's obviously, you know, he's kind of inspired them with a different way of playing. Just be free about what you're doing. Don't worry about what's going on. And, you know, don't panic if things don't work. Yeah. We'll try different things. And, you know, you look at it and it makes a huge difference to the way in which we're playing, the openness of the game. I mean, you know, dare I say it, I mean, Paul Lewis yesterday. I mean, apart from the fact he scored, but him and others, he's just getting so much more out of them than, you know, than Derry ever did, which is great. And yeah, okay, I think it is a massive long shot, probably even more so than last year's run into the playoffs were. But at the moment, I mean, if we carry on playing like we are, you know, you don't want to rule it out just yet. You know, you want to see where we go over the next two or three games. And I think the sad thing is that you look at Accrington, where we shouldn't have lost that game, and you look at Luton, I think was a fair result in the end. Yesterday we could have easily won that game at the end. There were a couple of chances that we didn't quite make, that on a different, well, say on a different day, because of course they've never gone in for us, those kind of things, but under Joe Dunn they've kind of looked a little bit more likely to go in, and you know, those could have changed another point or 3 points out of those to 2 points out of those would have been, you know, a huge boost. And it's not impossible, but I think it is probably a bit wishful thinking, but certainly you'd be looking to finish not far outside the playoff places now with the momentum we've got. And you know, if people do fall down and slip up, then great, we might just be there to take something.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some tough games still coming up. You know, it's been a rough sort of period in terms of the type of teams that we have played, and to come out of this run so far with 3 wins, a defeat, and 2 draws. When we were looking at it under Sean Derry, we were thinking, "Oh God, where's the next win coming from?" Because if we don't win this game and that game, then we're in big trouble. But you know, we've done really, really well. You know, the results have been decent. As I say, you know, these are top teams, you know, in the past sort of 2 weeks that we've played, and we've got points from them, whereas before, and I think Sean's record against the sort of like top six was not very good, or the top teams in our league wasn't very good at all, you know. So, you know, that has changed. We've still got 2 tough games to say. We've got Swindon on Saturday, which will be a tough game. But from what we saw early on in the season, again, it was them being better than us for them to beat us. It was us basically shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
That did it. And then we go to Carlisle the week after, who have had a bit of a spurt as well, and, you know, have come up from nowhere. And, you know, you go there, you get something from that result as well. You know, you're looking at a top 10 finish. You know, there's no reason why we can't finish in the top 10 if we put together a half decent run. So it's down to the players, and you know, a lot of them will get chances now. You know, okay, a lot of people say like David Moo should be starting. Obviously there's something there. Perhaps I don't see him as a starter, maybe it's just an impact player. Paul Lewis has come on and he's scored and he's taken his chance yesterday. Harrison Dunk was nowhere to be seen in the team before, you know, Joe took over, and now suddenly, you know, you look a lot more solid, even though we still want him further forward.
Yeah.
You know, we look a lot more solid at the back now. And, you know, people are coming back from injury now. You know, Pierre Mingoy is coming back. I think he'll make a massive difference.
Barry Cormier
even come back, you know, without being a miracle. So, it's interesting. You know, we have options. It's not just the options, but it's the formations that we can change to in each situation. You know, Dunn does seem to be changing formations all the time. So, you know, yesterday we went 2 up front with Uche and Jarbo. Next week it might be sort of Uche with Billy Waters behind him or something. Yeah. So, you know, we've got so many options and so many formations that we're comfortable in. Yeah. And that's a different thing, you know. There's a bit of belief, and you kind of, we actually look forward to going to a game of football now rather than, oh,
absolutely,
God, here we go,
yeah,
again.
Yeah. And you can tell that, like, just on the terraces, you can tell that. And it's interesting, two things I noticed over towards the end of last week and into this week. It's now become Joe Dunn's Amber Army, yeah, which it didn't. It was just Amber Army to start off with, which I think is a very positive sign. And I think social media, if you look on social media, there's now a kind of a groundswell of opinion that you know, Joe Dunn ought to be given a go at it. And we were chatting before the show started. It's really interesting. They've kind of got two options. They've got a high risk and a low risk, or a medium risk. They either go out and shop for a manager who's, you know, if you look at what Dunn's done, that's going to be the difficulty with Ujhelo when Dunn's done things. But when you look at what he's done, you're going to have to find somebody, you're going to have to convince fans that you've got somebody who's, you know, going to take the job off him if that's, yeah, what they're going to do. And I think that means the kind of, you know, that I can't see anybody becoming free over the summer who's in that position who wouldn't move up to a higher level. And therefore, you're going to have to pay someone a lot of money, I would have thought, to get someone who justifies that, you know, that tag. And that's, you know, we've already heard there's going to be no player windfall. So if you're spending a lot on a manager, presumably that lessens the windfall that will be there. So you take the low risk or the lower risk option, which is, you know, Dunn has demonstrated that he can do what we need him to do, which is, out of a bunch of players that we knew could perform, and Lynchy says out of this, we're actually starting to see that the team is capable of now. We don't have a clown in charge, which, clown aside, I mean, he is getting stuff. He's getting performances out of players that Derry just never managed, and we used to be continually frustrated about. Now he's getting those performances. He's done everything that's been asked of him. Okay, you know, you could argue, I mean, we were saying this earlier, it's kind of like, you know, there's no real pressure on him because, you know, all we wanted to do was avoid relegation and we'd have been happy. You know, so getting to where he is, he's got no plan, no pressure on his back to do, you know, to succeed, except, of course, he wants to succeed because, you know, whatever he says, and he's very coy about whether he wants the job or not, but of course he does. He'd be mad not to want the job. So there's pressure from him to do it, but he's not putting that on the players. I think that's the big thing. That's his problem, not the player's problem. He wants to see performances. If he gets the performances, he enhances his chances of getting the job. So the low risk option is to give him, you know, presumably pay him a bit more to make him the permanent manager or head coach, whichever you want to do. And, you know, you take the fact that we've not seen how well he can buy players.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be a problem, or how well he can manage. I don't think he'd have a problem managing the team because he seems to be doing that bit all right at the moment. Yeah. And tactically, it's a different game, and the performance he's getting, I say, are far, far in excess of what Derry was getting.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see, but I think the club have... I mean, he's making the decision in one way very easy for them, and if they do think they want to go outside of him, he's making it very difficult to actually do that because the fans are going to want a good explanation of why we go for someone else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you say, are there going to be anybody about in the summer? Is there somebody better out there? Well, you know, as you say,
Steve Evans has gone, of course.
Now. could have gone to a better club, or worse, should I say? But you know, if you are going to make Joe Dunn the permanent manager, then you need to give him the job kind of now, so he can get players signed up, he can start preparing for next season. As I say, we're not going down now, and he has to start making plans for next year. So he needs to contract talks with those that he'll want to keep,
yeah,
and those that he doesn't want to keep, you know. Because there's a few of the squad that are out of contract in the summer, so if they are going to appoint him the manager, sort of do it now or within the next month, so we can start getting prepared, ready for next season. And then the one thing that needs to definitely change, and I think we all agree with this, is the summer recruitment. Summer recruitment has got to be a lot better next year, and you know, you look at this season and you look at the players we've brought in this season, how many of them really could you say, oh yeah, you've done well, you're a success? I mean, David Ford, obviously, you'd keep for one more year if he wants to. If not, you've got to find yourself a new goalkeeper. Deegan's very hit and miss. We don't, you know, he's getting better, but then, you know, he goes off the ball a little bit. Jarbo's been injured for most of the season.
But yesterday looked very good.
But looks
very good,
you know,
indeed.
He's come into it a bit more, got a good goal last week. So, you know, do you want to keep him on again? Is he happy to stay, of course? And then you've got people like Osadebe, who's out on loan, who, well, you don't know, obviously. Yeah. You know, you don't know if he's going to come back into the squad and be welcomed by Dunn, or whether Dunn likes him or not. We don't know about that. You've got an issue with central defence because obviously Taft is technically on loan, but, you know, he's basically been told by Mansfield he can leave. But, you know, could you say sort of Leon, Greg Taylor and Taft as a sort of your three centre-back pairings? Are they a promotion-chasing centre-back pairing? Because I don't think they're quite good enough now. Like, I think Leon's taken a little step back. Not to say that he's not been bad, you know, he's still had a good season, but I just think at times he's not been as solid as what he has been over the past few years. Taft is very solid, we know that, and so is Taylor.
Yeah.
But are they genuinely good enough for us to chase playoffs or promotion for next year? I don't quite think they are.
Okay, I think we'll agree to differ. I mean, because Taylor's half of that pairing, which means we're going to agree to differ on it. But yeah, I think they probably are, and I think it's interesting that they're now keeping Legg out of the side. I mean, okay, he's only just come back from injury, but at the moment, you genuinely wouldn't, you know, okay, you can look at the performance against Akinfenwa and think, you know, okay, well, we might be a good idea to bring Legg back in, but. You know, I mean, some of the best defenders in the league get done over by Akinfenwa week in, week out.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that's necessarily a sign of anything. And I think, you know, the goal that Luton scored, you know, we didn't pick up the parry from Ford, which was a bit of a mistake. We should have been there a bit quicker on it. But we've looked a lot stronger, and I think, you know. I think they could do it, but they've got to have the right support elsewhere in the team. And for me, we've got a lot of attackers now, but we've still not got a 20 goal a year striker. And
absolutely.
that's the thing is that if you look at, you know, you look at who's up there at the top, it's because they've got, you know, you've got Hilton at Luton, you've got the players that you look at them and think, okay, they are going to score goal after goal after goal consistently, and that's what we've always lacked. And I think, you know, that's where the recruitment is. It's interesting, we were chatting about whether if they are going to make the announcement that, you know, if they're going to be considering Joe Dunn for that job, when should they do it? Because I think, I mean, there's the idea of, you know, then starting negotiations when the team know what's going on. Generally, I think, you know, there's been that much uncertainty. If a decision's going to be made, it should be made sooner rather than later. I'd hate to see them go to the end of the season and then give it to Dunn anyway after the end of the season, because then you think, you know, that's like almost saying, well, we don't really want you, but no one better's come along. I think they need to make a positive decision and say, yeah, we're going to put our faith in you because we think you're the person there. And then, you know, then as you say, everyone can rally behind that. And I think, you know, enjoy the rest of the season, because the game, I mean, like you said, now you're going to a game and actually thinking, oh, I might actually really enjoy this game because it's more exciting and we're getting the results, you know, apart Accrington apart, which we've talked about. But the other thing is, and we'll listen to Joe Dunn in a second because it's a perfect introduction. Lynchy finishes also, Dunn's interviews are 100 times more entertaining than Derry's garbage. And when we now go to the press call, they last about 20 minutes longer than we hear on the thing, because we chat afterwards and he's very open. We got to hear where he got the diamond from last week, and his books with all his every match he's ever managed he's got in his car, and just a really fascinating insight. And he was asking us, you know, how the club can get more involved in you know, with the fan base and everything. And he you can tell he genuinely wants the best for the club, which, you know, neither Money nor Derry ever gave. You know, they want the best, what's best for the club, because they are the manager of the club rather than anything else. Whereas Joe Dunn just seems so genuine. And he's so much easier to get on with than both Moneo. Let's listen to what Joe had to say after the Wickham game. Here we go.
Joe, as honest a performance as you could ever wish to see.
Yeah, that's all we ask for every week, isn't it? I think every time I speak to you guys, and we said it before the game, when we said it at half-time, we've been in this position before, lads, don't worry. Have a go. You know, have a go at them and see what happens. And by doing that, sometimes you leave yourselves open a bit, but sometimes you get reward. And honest as ever, against the real top side, the tough side, the physicality, if you like, obviously, Akinfenwa, what he does very well. And we had to match that today. And I thought it was a real perfect away performance up until the goal. We'd worked on it about matching it and being in the game, if you like, and showing physicality. Obviously, losing George early was a bit of a blow. But overall, we matched it and then had a little bit more at the end.
And if you're not careful, this is somewhere where Wickham can get under your skin and put you off your game. How did you get around that today?
Well, we spoke about keeping their concentration. We spoke about not getting upset about things. A lot of things went against us today, I felt, in terms of certain decisions. And, you know, that gives you a problem because they want to put the ball into the box and that's how they scored the goal. We just tried to keep a calm head and what we kept saying was just keep going, lads. Show, resilience. Keep going to the very end. That's all I want. That's all I can ask for. And they did it.
And talk about things going against us. Even the lawnmowers here are going against us at the moment. But to keep going and Paul Lewis to get his first goal for the club that late on in the game, that was a well-taken goal.
It was. It was a good goal. Uche did his bit. Fantastic piece of strength. Allowed him to create the space for Paul, and I'm pleased for Paul. You spoke at the beginning of the game, and I looked at the subs, and I talked to the subs, and I used the subs in the team talk. We're only as strong as everybody, and it needs everybody, and it takes everybody. And what we're seeing is impact from the bench, and Paul's come on early. It was one of them. Do I risk Paul? Because he's obviously not played a lot of games, but he showed great energy and commitment, and he's done that. He's done that with his previous club, and obviously his chances have been limited. But he took his chance today, and we're grateful for that. Obviously,
had to be patient to get the tempo that seems best for you to get going.
But this place doesn't allow you to get a tempo. This place doesn't. You know, Wickham don't allow you to get into a tempo. They set the tempo of the game. That's why they are where they are. They do fantastic. They've got good players, and when they get going, they get going, and when they do, you've just got to try and be resilient, and that's what we did today. And you know, the tempo was stop start. There was a few knocks and niggles that, like, the obviously 9 minute stoppage time in the first, 6 in the second, and you've just got to keep going. You've just got to not lose your head, and I thought we did that really well.
I think you can tell a lot about team spirit for the way they celebrate goals.
Well, I've got headbutted. Leon Legg's headbutted me, and I think Paul came. I didn't see their celebrations because we were up on the bench, and then they came across. Team effort. I'm just pleased for them. I'm just pleased for the players because we work so hard. They work so hard off the pitch, on the pitch, and it's a great reward for them to say that, look, we'll keep going to the very end, and we're building up a little bit of a rep that you're going to have to go some, and that's all we want, you know. And if we keep giving honest endeavour, we'll get a bit back, and sometimes you get it, like at Aki. Yeah. You don't get it, and sometimes like today you do. So exceptionally pleased for the resilience of the team.
And you got it from off the field as well. The supporters stuck with you the full 90.
I know, great today. You know, we were talking about it as we came into the ground today about last year. I think that whole end was full when we were warming up, and it kind of had to bring the players back into focus. But they never stopped singing. They we said at half time, we're attacking our own fans. We know where our fans are good when they get going, and that might be the one, lads. Can you imagine celebrating in front of them? And lo and behold, we did it. And so pleased for them also, because they see in their team energy. And what's good is the rapport of the fact that they see us working hard.
Yeah.
They appreciate it, even sometimes when it's not going your way. And that's a two-way thing. And we're pleased today, obviously, all round to take a point at a very difficult place against, again, another top four, top six, top seven team.
Another case of, although a goal down, you were never out of it.
No, for sure. All the time it's 1-0, you're never in control. One moment. And we had a few moments today. You know, we had a few moments. The goalkeeper made a really good save in the first half. So we had chances. We had chances. And the one we needed to take, we took.
Two games against two of the top sides, come from behind to take a point in both. And both feels like wins.
Well,
they do because of the circumstances. Like when you're coming from behind, when you get a draw, it kind of galvanises you and keep a bit of momentum going. Against the top teams, it's so hard, and we're finding that out at the moment. We've got to get the energy systems right. But it's a great credit to them that we can say, okay, well, if you're in the top and you're coming and you're playing us, we're going to have a go. And I thought we did that again today, and we've done that in previous games, but we draw a line under it now, and then another one comes to town next week, and hey-ho, we have to go again.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
There you go, that's the longest ident in the world we've now got on the show. we ought to thank the FA. I'm actually meeting up with the FA on Monday to see if we can find some content and other bits and pieces from them as well. So hopefully more news on that later on. We were chatting further about you know, when they should announce, and I think, you know, I think it's that they need to, if they want to be open and transparent, I think they need to come forward if they're going to offer him the job and do it sooner rather than later. But of course they'll say they're still making their mind up, you know, and perhaps they are, so we'll see what happens there. Lynch, you finished off with something that I saw at the ground, and I saw on the Facebook page, which is this rumour that we've paid $600,000 for an electronic advertising hoarding down at the NRE. I don't know, but I would doubt whether you don't normally pay for something like that. It's normally an agreement with the company you're selling advertising rights to put that there, and then you collect some of the money that comes from it, and it's not normally something that would cost you money. Certainly when we had one put up outside a company I used to work for, and that was exactly the deal. You don't pay for it, you just effectively let them put it up, and you have to pay obviously the running costs of it because it's your electricity, but the advertising revenue is then split with them taking the lion's share and you taking some. So I would doubt whether we paid $600,000 for it, because apart from anything else, it's just an LED screen set, and I'm not sure that they're that expensive, but who knows. But it is interesting, and again, it's the kind of thing where you kind of think that does nobody at the club learn, you know, why did it just come as a complete surprise? Why wasn't it, I mean, unless I missed it in a programme somewhere, some programme notes, you'd think someone would have said, oh, and look what we're trying to do to generate some more revenue for player budget next year or something like that, rather than just, you know, let this thing appear, let people figure out what it is and how much it's cost us, when they've probably got no basis to that at all, and then not do anything about it. Well, it's interesting, we might mention it, see if we can get a comment from the press officer on Thursday before the pre-match. But I'd certainly be a bit upset if they paid $600,000 for it, not unless it was guaranteed £1 million in income. That would be the only way you'd want to pay $600,000 for something like that. But there you go. So we've got Swindon at home on Saturday. Like you say, it's a tough game, but we've got the home form behind us. We've got the newly resurgent team behind us, and as I say, last time we lost rather than they won the game. And then we've got another hard one, Carlisle, which I'm not going to. I just can't travel all that way. The thing about, and you know, all credit to those that do. I mean, I've done sort of. I think I did Carlisle. I think now Morecambe and others, and Gateshead and people. But I've got an alternative thing I can do, and I've just taken the easy way out. I'm not going to go up today. The thing is, it's so expensive on the train. That's the thing that gets me. And so you kind of think, well, if I'm going to drive, that's a massive drive. Yeah. Even if I stop off at my parents in Manchester, it's still a massive drive. So be giving that one a miss. But what do you think? I mean, I think if we can get 4 points out of that, that'd be a fantastic haul.
Yeah, I mean, if we get 4 points... It'd be a really good haul, you know. As I say, you know, this whole period recently, we've played a lot of the top sides or sides in form, and to, you know, to only lose one game is actually, you know, really good for us. And as I say, we were very, very unlucky, as we spoke, against Accrington. I probably should have had a point from that at least. So, Yeah, I think, you know, more than likely it'll probably be, you know, another point in each game to give us two. But if we could win Saturday, you know, it'll be really good for us to keep going. And then, as I say, Carlisle have had a massive resurgence. They were below us a little while ago, but now they've found a bit of force. So that'd be a good game to go to. And you know, two half decent teams, and obviously loads of sort of like links for like Jarbo, of course, going back to his old club. And we usually don't do too badly at Carlisle, actually. Usually we get a point there at least. So, you know, here's hoping. I'd like to go to Carlisle, but I've got to try and get the Sunday off work, which I very much doubt I will. Yeah. So, but I'm hoping to go bank holiday Monday to Morecambe if my partner in crime, Lynchy, can be bothered to get the time.
Well, I was watching because it was Exeter Carlisle yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I watched that.
Yeah.
That's a monumental travel, that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a trip. Oh, dude,
that's one you really want to do by plane if you can afford it. That's the only sensible way of doing it. But so Swindon at home, followed by Carlisle away, and I guess we'll still be talking about what Joe Dunn's doing at the end of that, and hopefully we'll pick up a home win and at least a draw away. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Cambridge City.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association. Promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
So we're just going to try and get hold of Robbie Nightingale. A big win. Hey Robbie, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, yourself.
Yeah, not too bad. So, an interesting game yesterday. They had a big win last week, but you got back into winning form and goal scoring form in a fairly spectacular way.
Yeah, we did. We've been sort of chomping at the bit, really. We've trained sort of Tuesday, Thursday for the last 2 weeks, and you know, we're really desperate to get out and play some football. And you know, it was a nice pitch. Nice little ground, and it just sort of suited us, really. You know, from minute one, we took control of the game, and you know, I think sort of 6-1 was probably a fair result.
And of course, you strengthened the squad midweek with the signing of Nelson Addy, and by all accounts, he kind of ran the game from the midfield yesterday.
Yeah, he's somebody that's going to hopefully be a massive addition for us. He's played in the Conference South already this season for Hemel Hempstead, who are, you know, in the top four. So, you know, he brings a lot of quality to our team, and you know, sort of, we've missed it's a different quality to Tom Knowles's that he brought to our team, but he gives us something in the middle of the park that we haven't had for a long time, and you know, he can get up the pitch as well as he can get back and defend, and he, you know, he's very, very secure in possession of the ball, and he uses it very well. And you know, I'm sure that those that were there watching yesterday will be really pleased with the impact that he had on the game, and hopefully what he'll have on the remaining 12 games of our season.
And yeah, you're kind of in the position that you have been in previous seasons, with a fixture backlog starting to turn. You've got, you know, obviously now a very busy March and April, including the cup final, semi-final, then presumably a final as well, hopefully. How difficult is that going to be, especially since obviously the pitch will still play a part in, because there's quite a lot of home games left in that set of fixtures?
Yeah, I think it's 8 home games we've got, so you know, it's going to, whether it causes a problem, we'll find that out in due course. But you know, we've got a squad now. We've added Eddie to the group. You know, we've got Jack Vasey coming back from injury. You know, yesterday's bench we had Salim Relazani, Ben Seymour Shav, Lewis Wilson. You know, we had some real, you know, talented players on the bench yesterday, and you know, we're still looking to add maybe one or two for that running. And you know, I'm sure that the players that are on the sidelines at the moment, you know, they'll be chomping at the bit to, you know, when they get opportunities, you know, like Salim did when he came on, and Ben Seymour Shove yesterday, they both had a hand in, you know, scoring goals and creating goals. So you know, as much as it could become a problem, I think it's a problem that we'll look to take on and you know, really sort of take it by the horns, really, as such. And then, you know, we've got players that want to play and are desperate to play and try to close that gap. And, you know, two wins in a week can change the outlook on everything at the moment. So, you know, we're looking forward to what lies ahead and hopefully some positive results.
And you've got, I mean, the run-in's quite interesting with a lot of games left to play. You are pretty much playing everywhere in the league. You're playing people who are around you, people who are above you, and people who are below you. So, you know, it's certainly not going to be an easy run-in with the games coming in there. I noticed there's a pitch inspection for tomorrow's game at 1 o'clock. I mean, what's the pitch looking like at the moment?
I think it's dried out quite well today. So, fingers crossed that we, you know, if we can sort of not get a heavy downpour tomorrow and it's maybe a bit of drizzle, then, you know, fingers crossed we can get the game on. It's a game that we're desperate to play, especially on the back of Saturday and how positive, not just the result, but the performance. We want the game on, and I'm sure if we can get it on, and we don't get too much rain, then, you know, we'll full steam ahead.
Of course, the good news, at least as far as the planning permission goes, obviously still potentially the problem of some objections coming up again around the stadium. But at least that must give you something to look forward and start to, as a club, start to feature that into the plans.
Yeah, massively. It's something that, you know, we've, since sort of November when, you know, we went to council and they approved it. It's, you know, you just waiting and waiting, and every time you get, you know, another green light, you know, it's you know, more positive news. And, you know, I think we've got 5 weeks left, 4 weeks left of the 6 weeks that, you know, somebody can come in and make objections to. And but we're pretty confident that with what the council have done, you know, we are hopeful that there shouldn't be any more problems that could sort of hinder us moving into Sawston. So, you know, but once that sort of April the 18th, I think it is out the way, we can then really start to focus on, you know, Sawston and really, you know, sort of get that going. And hopefully we can be in and around the playoffs at that point, coming into the last week of the season. So it could be sort of almost double celebrations if we can.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Robbie. We shall talk to you again next week. Cheers.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
No problem. Looking at the fixtures, I mean, as we said, it's Barton, hopefully. Watch out, say 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock pitch inspection tomorrow, so keep an eye out on the Twitter feed for that. That's Monday night's game. It is Monday night's game at home to Barton. And I was just looking at the previous results. I think it was a 1-0 win. Yeah, 1-0 win away from home. Sharman got the winner in that one. And then that's followed next Saturday by Uxbridge, and that was a big win. I think that was one of the big 5-1, 6-1 wins, wasn't it? Yeah, 5-1 win at home just at the start of December. So, you know, two games, looking at the league position now, I mean, they're seventh in the league, but they've got games in hand, obviously, now over most clubs, at least one, and in some cases up to three. So you could look at, really, I mean, if they win all their games in hand, that could take them to 61 points, which could take them as high as in fourth place if they were lucky with the Hartley Whitney result. And you look at who they've got left. They're playing Rushton and Diamonds, they're playing Hartley, they're playing Dunstable, who are all above them, and then they're playing down at the bottom as well. They've got Barton coming up, they've got Hamwell, they've got Northwood, I think, as well. And so they've got, you know, they are playing, as I said before, all across the league. So good luck to them. I think the biggest thing they're going to need is really some decent weather to dry that pitch out, because the last thing they need is more games to be called off. And they've also got this issue, they've got the semi-final of the Cambridge Invitational Cup against the Cambridge United development team in the middle of March, and of course if they get through that just adds to the fixture congestion, because there's then going to be the final. So whether that proves to be a distraction that's unnecessary eventually, I'm not sure, but it'll be interesting to see. Cambridge United, the development team, have been playing well, so I'm sure that'll be quite a good game, and I'm not sure that you'd necessarily feel your strongest team for a cup like the Cambridge Invitational Cup, but it's a trophy, so you know, and I know that Robbie's taking it seriously, before. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back and hopefully we'll get Mark on the phone. And although we can't talk about football, we might talk about the upcoming game.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
So we're trying Mark now. Hopefully, I nearly tried to do those during the ident, but it's just too short. We need a longer one. Oh, it's not ringing anymore. Mark, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks very much.
So, unfortunately, not got any football to talk about this week, given that it was rained off. What can we talk about? We can talk about next week's game. So, who've you got next week?
It's the big one. It's Godman.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. That's a midweek game in Wednesday, I think it is.
Yeah, I believe it's Wednesday. It was meant to be played in November time, but unfortunately got called off. Hopefully that doesn't happen a second time round. But I think it's going to be quite an interesting game, really, because I think the majority of the league, or the majority of the teams in the league, rather, have had their games called off for the past couple of weeks, owing to the beast from the east and then the sort of the heavy downpour we saw on Friday. So, it's, like I say, it's going to be an interesting one, because I think... I'm guessing a lot of teams have probably struggled to get training sessions on. So I think, with a lot of damp and heavy pitches mixed in with players who probably haven't had proper training sessions, I think it's going to be a battle of willpower and determination and pretty much who wants it more rather than just skill at the end of the day. Because I think there's going to be a lot of heavy legs and maybe a few cobwebs to brush off. I know it's only been 2 weeks, but when you're sort of you're chasing a top two, second or third place, then I think sort of 2 weeks without any training can be a little bit of a setback. But it's going to be the same for both sides. So like I say, it's going to be quite an interesting game on Wednesday, and certainly it's a huge one really for both of us, because I think whoever it goes in whatever favour, I think they're going to back themselves in to try and get that third place that we're both vying for.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, with not playing this week, it's and as you say, a lot of people probably wouldn't have done it. It is a Wednesday game, 7:45 kickoff away. If you're not doing anything Wednesday, that should be quite a good game. I mean, you've got some interesting games coming up because, of course, we all know you play Stowmarket in the middle of April, which will be an important one, given that they're just above you, and then you open up a gap if you can beat Godman. Manchester, and then there are some potentially some potential banana skins in that running as well that you'd expect to win, sides that are down towards the bottom end, potential. I mean, what, 68 points behind Coggeshall, but they do have two games on you as well, so I think to try and get up to second is going to be fairly monumental and take more than a bit of luck, but obviously that third place, which is where you'd expect to see promotion from.
Yeah, well, again, it's all really up in the air at the moment, isn't it? But certainly, I think that's probably the best we can do. And then it's fingers crossed. But as you said, I think as the weeks go by and we get closer towards the end of the season, I think each team we play, it's going to get harder and harder, because it's going to be competitive at the top. Everyone trying to finish as hard as they can, but also there's going to be teams down the bottom that are probably fighting for their Premier Division status. So it's going to get pretty difficult. And like I say, I think it's going to come down really to willpower and sort of determination. And there probably will be a fair few games where we're just going to have to dig deep and grind it out. It's certainly an interesting one, but if we can keep our second mini run going and turn that into the one that we've just had, then we'll give ourselves every chance.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that the one good thing is that you know the size of the squad you've got and the lack of injuries and the fact that you've got scorers across the whole, well, not even just across the forward line, but across a large number of the team, must at least, you know, you must go into these games at least feeling a little bit more confident than perhaps in the past, where you've had a lot of games piling up and you needed results to avoid relegation rather than to potentially challenge for promotion, but you lost players at crucial times, so that must at least be some good news.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a prime example of that was a couple of years ago when we got relegated from the Southern Premier. We were relying on a lot of goals from Jordan Nicholson and Sam Ives throughout their sort of the first part of the season, and Sam Ives unfortunately sort of struggled a lot with injury, so he was in and out, and then Jordan got a pretty nasty injury and was only able to come back for a couple of games before Peterborough took him off our hands. And, you know, in sort of the, you know, a number of weeks, we'd lost both our leading goal scorers. And then yeah, it's kind of difficult because we were relying on those two really to keep us up. But, you know, this time round, as you say, we've got players that score from all over the pitch. And, you know, that could well aid us in our quest for third. I think also on the flip side, what's helped us out with this 2-week break in effect is that anyone with any sort of niggly injuries or you know, anyone that's sort of 50-50 on playing has hopefully now recovered fully, and we'll have a full squad of players to choose from.
Well, hopefully it'll all go well. But again, with the wet, I mean, how's the pitch standing up at home?
I haven't seen it, to be honest. I know I think it's held out pretty well considering the winter that we've had and the amount of rain that we've had over the past sort of couple of months. I'm guessing that Friday's sort of evening downpour was probably a little bit too much for it to go on Saturday. But I think you know, it's done all right considering, and hopefully now as we kind of enter into spring, that it will dry out and we won't have too many more problems. Like I say, when you're winning most of the time, you just want to get games on. So yeah, fingers crossed, it's the last of the postponements.
Well, hopefully we'll be talking to you in the studio next week with a game on. So thanks very much for joining us, Mark. Cheers.
Thanks very much.
So there we go. We've got a few minutes left now. So I was just catching up on the women's football. Histon game was not played, waterlogged pitch. Cambridge City Ladies, they were playing AFC Dunstable, I think it was. Let me just make sure I've got that right. And they won 1-0. On that one. I should have kept that up there. 1-0. Yes, 1-0. I'm sure I read that somewhere. Oh, you can never find it when you need it, can you? I should have. Yeah, two excellent results for the ladies team. First win 1-0 away at Dunstable, and the development team won 4-0 against Netherton. So two games down for Cambridge City Ladies. Cambridge United women, they were playing, the first team were playing Orient, Leighton Orient, and they won 1-0, first half goal from Hewitt, and 35 minutes of sheer determination got used all 3 points, a number of performance from every player. And then a bit confusing for the reserves, because apparently the reserve, it says, I've got one tweet that says reserve was a full time 1-0. Oh, into extra time. Oh, it must have been. Ah, oh, that's right. I think it was a cup game, wasn't it? So full time was a 1-1. And unfortunately, it looks like they lost 2-1 in extra time. Unfortunately, if that's correct. So that's where we're at the moment. Just some other bits of news. If you look on the Twitter feed for either the men's or the women's football for Cambridge City, they've got an event Friday the 18th of May, the inaugural sporting dinner in support of the ladies and girls team. Guest speaker John Lukic is down there talking about it, and then the poster's quite funny because the poster says special guest John Lukic, Arsenal Leeds goalkeeper with over 650 appearances, and then it says comedian. I assume that's not the comedian and the show. A guest speaker, comedian, auction and raffle. That's at Cambridge United on Friday the 18th of May, 7 o'clock arrival for a 7:30 start. So if you want to get tickets from that, I'm just trying, unfortunately, the whole of the... so look on the Twitter feed or on the website. There is a phone number. Paul Burling at Cambridge United is actually the person that's handling the tickets for that. But have a look. £50 a person, £500 for a table, three-course meal with tea and coffee if you want to go along to that. I think that's probably pretty much all we've got time to talk about. We've got a couple of minutes to kill, but I think we've covered pretty much everything we needed to cover. I mean... so we reckon top 10 is where we should be aiming, but probably unless something miraculous happens, the playoffs are probably not there. Unless, well, we'll see, but
yeah, I don't think that. I think the playoffs are far too far out. I mean, we said it last year, and you know we'll keep saying it, but we've got to win too many games. 6 out of 9. You said, Tim, and I can't see us winning 6 out of 9. You know, maybe a couple, but I just think there'll be a few defeats thrown in there, and that'll put a spanner in the works for everything. So, but I mean, that does say, you know, stranger things have happened sometimes,
yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Derry lost his job. There you go. Stranger things have happened indeed.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping for. Or change of manager. But.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I think every time we win or don't lose to a top club, I think everyone will get a bit more excited about it. It's good that people have got something to look forward to. You know, I mean, we've had seasons where really we've kind of chased the playoffs but never really going to get it. And I think this is another one of those. But at least we've got the excitement of playing some decent football now and building really for next year. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if as I said, if Dunn's going to get the job, let's just say he's going to get the job and get on with it. But so I promise I'll bug the club about the cost of that advertising hoarding and see if we can get anything from the press office. But as I say, I don't get your knickers in a twist, because I don't believe that we've paid $600,000 for it. But who knows? As you said, stranger things have happened, so wouldn't be sure. So that's all we've got time for this week. Do stay tuned. You've got Tony Barnfield next, Easy on the Ear, and I was listening to the trailer for this. It's got Vic Damone, who did a lot of Frank Sinatra, who was around at the same time, and he's got something like 2,000 recordings, so I don't know whether he's going to play all of them. I doubt that, but that's around. Alley Club Mods on at 8 o'clock, and I'm just looking at, there's a flyer here for a Scar evening with Desmond Decker's band on the 12th of May, which I might go along to. Following that, Rebel Arts Radio at 9 o'clock, and then obviously Stagger, usual place, 10 o'clock. Do join us again next week, and thanks very much. We will see you then. I say, but do stay tuned with Tony Barnfield after the news. Thanks very much indeed.
Cambridge 105 Radio.